Perek Zayin. Okay, we have here a long list of names. It's a very long perek. We'll try to run through the names very quickly, but the perek begins, Vahika Asher Nivnas HaChoyma V'amid HaDelosais. Nehemiah at this point says the wall has been complete, has been put up, and in addition the doors have also been put up. Now that is obviously very significant, because this was the problem. The previous paragraph dealt with a situation where we have a wall but we do not have doors, and therefore it was still vulnerable. The city was vulnerable to attack by the enemies, but now not only is the wall had been put up, the doors are there as well. Now the city is secure, and therefore Nehemiah now goes to the next step. Vayipaktu hashoarim, he now appoints. Vayipaktu means to put in position. Hashoarim, the gatekeepers, the hamishoirim, and the singers, the haladim, and the ladim that did other functions in the Mishkan. Other functions were similarly referred to maintenance. The Levim were in charge of the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's seemingly what it means over here. Look over here, he puts down over here in the Mitzudos, Levim Heim HaMunim Al Eitzres Beis Hashem, on the storage house. They were the treasurers. So basically, now that the Levim are free, for a period of time they were busy with construction, they were not able to serve in their role in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that the construction is complete, they can be appointed officially back to their regular jobs as gatekeepers for the Beis HaMikdash, and it seems not just for the Mikdash but also for the Hazara, Harabayis, and for the walls of Yerushalayim, and to serve as singers and to serve other functions as custodians of the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Beis, V'atzaveis Chanoni Ochi. There's a question if Ochi here is to be taken literally, that Chanoni was the brother of Nehemiah. Is that really true? Do we have a record of this? Perhaps. It's not clear. Some say yes, some say not. Otherwise, Ochi would mean my closest friend. We always have that. That's a common expression that you refer to. V'yahafta l'rayacha, that's l'rayacha, kamocha, Sisna esachicha bilvavecha. Not here. Achicha does not necessarily mean your brother. It means your close friend, your relatives. Therefore, this person was a very close friend of Nehemiah, and he calls him here Achi. V'yes Chananya and Chananya. Sar Habira al Yerushalayim, another person. He was the Sar Habira. The Biri refers similarly to the Beis HaMikdash. That was the ultimate palace. He had seemed at some position as the master, as the chief custodian over the Beis HaMikdash. His job was now expanded to serve as security for Yerushalayim. So it was basically a two-man team. It was a two-man team that would oversee the security of the entire city of Yerushalayim. Chanoni Ochi, yes, Chanan Yisar Habira al Yerushalayim, kihu ki ish emes. Pasuk here refers to Chananya as being ki ish emes, a man of truth, v'yorei es holokim me'rabim, and a man that fears God. Now, what does that curious word mean, me'rabim? There are two possible interpretations. It means more than most others. That's not saying much.
From way back when.
Or it means for a long period of time. So either means that he had more Yirah Shamayim than the average person. Me'rabim. People have Yirah Shamayim. He has more than what other people have. Or, like you said, for a Me'rabim, he's been known, has a reputation as being a Yirah Shamayim from way back, from time. Okay, so one more time. Let's review the two pesukim very quickly. When the city with the wall was complete, I put up the doors. And I appointed the gatekeepers and the singers and the levim. I commanded Chanani, my brother, referring to my close friend. Kihu ki ish emes, he appeared to be a good man, v'yareyes lokim me'rabim, and he feared Hashem, as Rabbi, as...
Yeah, he says he didn't want to be intimidated, he wanted somebody who wouldn't be intimidated by the multitude, by people like Shemaya and other people, they would have more Yerushalayim, so they wouldn't say, oh, you know what he said, we better react, he wanted somebody to tune out what the people are talking about.
Yeah.
That's why he chose him. He said he went after somebody who would have more Yiras Shamayim because it was necessary here because he's going through all these conspiracies.
To Tovia and Sanblat. He needed someone not to be influenced by Sanblat and Tovia. Right. So he needed someone that was exceptionally Yiras Shamayim. Okay. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi's Pasuk Al, just real quick, Rashi, Vayipaktu, Ata Nesu Halavim Pekudim Al Pekid Dusan. Now that the wall and the doors are complete, I had the opportunity to appoint permanently the Levim in their position of authority in the Beis HaMikdash, Leo Shoyarim, gatekeepers, Umishoyarim, some Levim specialized in singing and playing the musical instruments, Min HaLevim BeBeis HaMikdash. So it seems from Rashi, it's important to note that here when it says Shoyarim, the gatekeepers are not gatekeepers for the wall of Yerushalayim. That's going to be a separate security detail, which is the Pasuk Beis. But rather here, these gatekeepers are the gatekeepers for the Beis HaMikdash. Midrash Pasuk Beis Al Yerushalayim Lishmar to guard Pasuk Beis. He now appoints this two-man team of Hanani and Hananya to supervise the security Al Yerushalayim Lishmar Yisharei Yerushalayim Merabim Miyam Rabim. And Rashi learns that he means here that he was a Yerei Shemayim from time immemorial, for many many days. He had a reputation for going way way back. Now, interesting, we mentioned just Ki Ish Emes. We mentioned that the Chaf HaDimyon on the Ish Emes, but there is no Chaf HaDimyon for V'yorei Es HaElokim. So it seems that when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, that he was more certain. If you want to learn that the Chaf is, I'm not exactly certain he's an Ish Emes, he appears to be a man of integrity, but I don't know for sure. When it comes to V'yorei Es HaElokim, there is no Chaf. Interesting that a sense of a person is a Yerei Shemayim, that may be easier than sensing if a person is truly honest. That is interesting. Going on both. Okay, could be. That could very well be. That's a very good point. Okay, let's go further. Yeah.
That he was...
Not to be intimidated by Tovia. Yeah.
Yep, so he's more a Yerei Elohim than he is from the Rabbin. So it's also like a Dinyon. That Mem is like a Dinyon.
Aha. So the Mem is like the Chof. Aha, very good. You're saying that we have by Ish Emes is Ki Ish Emes, and the Yerei Elokim, the Mem, we have a whole word which serves as the Chof, that he appears to be more, have more Yerei Shemayim than the average person. Okay, very interesting. Pasik Gimel. V'oimar Lohem. I now said to them, referring to the security team, Lo yipaschu sharei Yerushalayim ad chaim hashemesh. The gates shall not be open until midday. Think about this. You come, you're a tourist, and you're show, when do you want to come? You want to come nice early in the morning before it gets too hot. You come there, it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. No, the city gates are locked. The city gates are first open at 12 noon. When the sun, why? Because if the gates will be open early in the morning, they are vulnerable, susceptible to attack. Because early in the morning, not everyone is awake, and the enemy may be lurking, may be hiding, and it can be a surprise attack when the gates are open 6 o'clock in the morning. But in the middle of the day, by that time, everyone is awake, everyone is alert, and if the city will be attacked, right away there will be a strong defense force that will come forward. Another approach is, in the middle of the day, it's very, very hot. And it's not likely the enemy would want to attack in the heat of day. So middle of the night, then of course they have the advantage of it's dark, they have surprise. Early in the morning it's not yet so hot. At night also it's not so hot. People are not so tired. But the middle of the day people are very tired. It's very unlikely the enemy would want to attack at that point in time. And therefore the gates are to remain locked until midday. If someone wants to leave, someone wants to enter, they'll not be able to do so until the gates are open, and the gates will be open only in the middle of the day. This was an extra layer of security. Lo yipaschu sharei Yerushalayim ad chaim hashemesh, until the sun is in its strength, which is midday, and v'ad. And while the gates are open, here you have to add a few more words to the parish. And while the gates are open, Haim, these guards, Omdim shall stand. They shall stand there until Yogifu Hadalasa. So you have to change, we'll see the word Rashi in the Mitzvah, you have to really change the words a little bit around. Make believe the words are written Haim Omdim. The guards will stand until Yogifu Hadilosos Ve'echozu, until the doors are shut and locked. The word Ve'echozu means locked. It means they're put in place. How does the word put in place? Echoz means to stand firm. By putting the horizontal and vertical bars in the ground and across the doors, that keeps the gates secure. So until the gates are closed and are locked, these guards shall stand heim omdim. The Hamed Mishmaros, and Yechemyeh instructs Hanani and Hananya to appoint Mishmaros, guards, different groups of guards, Yoshvei Yerushalayim, Ish Mishmarto, they shall, in residence of Yerushalayim, which not import people who live outside, people who actually live in Yerushalayim, they shall be hired, they shall be appointed to stand guard, assigned, Ish Mishmarto, each person has a Mishmar, Miluim, each person has a Mishmar, the Ish Neged Beso, and furthermore, every person should not take for granted, just because the gates of the city are locked, you should not think, oh, you're safe. You should also stand guard in front of your house, because who knows, maybe someone broke in, maybe someone climbed over the wall, maybe someone dug a tunnel and came under the wall, or maybe someone in secret came in during the day when the gates were open, and now it's going to cause havoc at night. Therefore, it's not enough just to have a organized system of mishmaros to guard the city gates. Everyone, the ish neged beso, every person shall stand guard by the opening of his own home. Pasuk Dalet. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Ad choyim hashemesh ad chatzi hayom shehoyah hayom gadol. The gate shall remain locked until midday. V'yad heim oimdim uve'oid shehashorim pesuchim. While the gates are open, yiyu oimdim shelo. The guard shall be standing there. Shelo yozuzu, and the guard shall not leave. Ad yagifu, until the gates are closed. The yiskru hadalasos, they are shut and closed. Hadalasos verotzelotetz yetze minu'ir verotzelikonis yavo v'ikonis. Kol kachoyu, anyone who wants to come can leave and enter, can only leave and enter during this period of time, during the day, from midday until it gets dark. That's the only time when the gates are open. If someone wants to leave, can leave to enter. Kol kachoyu oisim b'mnei ha'ivim, there was so much security because of the enemies that were constantly attacking and threatening Klal Yisrael at this very difficult point of time. V'yachoyzu, the locks would hold the doors down to make sure they remain locked. Okay, Mishmos Yoshua Yushalayim. Yoshua Yushalayim Hamidu Mishmos. He appointed guards from residents of Yushalayim. Now let's see here the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel. Adchoy Hashemesh Ad Yischanim Hashemesh B'tachlis Hachanimus Fuha B'chatzi Hayom. The gate shall remain locked until midday, and until the sun is in its tokef, in its strength, which is chatzos. The gates first open at 12 o'clock. V'yad heim oimdim uve'od shehamamunim oimdim, while the guardians are standing there, yiskri hadulasos, the door shall be closed. V'achar kach yelchu hamamunim lebeisam, and later when the doors are closed, then those people that are appointed stand guard can go home. V'echozu hechziku b'dover mihamonu hazois v'hayuzim ba, be very strong. So here the Ritu Lord is not like Rashi, and he takes the word ve'echozu not to mean locked. See, if you go back to Pasuk Gimel, I translate the Pasuk ve'adheim omdim yagifu hadalosos, that the doors, the guardian shall stand there until their yagifu hadalosos, until they're closed ve'echozu, and they're locked. That's not the way the Mitzudos learns. He puts a comma after the word dolosos. The Echozu is an instruction of encouragement by Nehemiah. Nehemiah told these two people, Hanani and Hananya, the Echozu, make sure you do your job well. Make sure you are very careful to appoint a series, a whole collection of guards at appointed times to make sure there is security. Look again, the Mitzvot Ve'achozu, Herziku B'Davar Hamonezos, be strong, strengthen yourself with regard to this matter of appointing guards to be present at all times. V'Hayu V'Hayu Zehirim Bo, be very careful concerning this. V'Hamid. The Hamidu Hashem Yosha Yishlam appoint guards from residents of Yishlam Yish Mishmar to Kolish Yishmar B'Shav Yoyer B'Eis Bo Zman Mishmar. Everyone shall do his job. Everyone shall come at this appointed time. Hakvulo Mulvad Zos. And besides guarding the gates of Yerushalayim, don't get for yourself a full sense of security. Make sure you stand guard in front of your own private homes. Mulvad Zos Yishmar Kol Echad Neged Besa. Okay, now let's go. Now we come to the next section. So it doesn't fit well according to the Mitzudos, right? According to the Mitzudos, the trap does not fit well because it's a separate statement. Yagifu hadalosos, period. That they shall stand guard until the doors are closed and locked. And now Nehemiah says, and by the way, Ve'achozu, make sure you do your job well. I want to be mechazik you and warn you. Right, so according to the Rashi, it would appear better that it's part of the expression of Yagifu. It goes back on Yagifu that they shall be closed and locked. In Akanami, and the Mepharshim should never be held up by a trap. especially when it comes to
the Vilna
Gaon
like to make a lot of little rushes on
that. Yeah, but Chumash, Ksuvim, Nevim, Ksuvim. Our Mesora of the trap of the Tanim is much weaker than the Mesora of Chumash. One classic example about the trap is by the Akeda. Vayisina Vayar Vihine Ayil Achar. So is it ayel achar or is it ayel kama achar nechaz basvach? So Rashi very clearly teaches in the trap is by ayel. There was an ayel. Period. Achar. This ayel was on the other side. Achar. I forgot already the pshat. It's not part of. It's not ayel acher. Like really, it's acher. It's not achar. Some of the darshanim, they take the word ayil and they connect it to the word achar and they interpret it as if it says ayil acher, another ayil. Now this ayil was the replacement for Yitzchak. Yitzchak is one ayil and there's an ayil acher, another ayil. There are two ayils. But that's not the pshat because the trump very clearly says v'hine ayil esnachta achar nechas basach bekarnas. So there in Chumash, you can't play around that much. Because Chumash, the Messiah of the Tamim, is much stronger. But in Nevi'im, I always was shocked that Rav Schwab, in Yeshaya, he has many original interpretations of the Pesukim, and they don't fit like the Trump at all. You have Rashi, and you have the Mitzudos. You break up the truck, right? You go through the drushes. So you have a Gemara, okay, you can say what you want. But when you come to an Achara in the Mitzudas David, there it's already a little more difficult to take the liberty of interpreting the Pasuk in such a method.
Well, besides the truck, just the rest of the Pasuk, he is continuing the instructions of what to do. So it would be strange that all of a sudden in the middle of it have the word Ve'achozu.
It would be better to put Ve'achozu together with the next words. Ve'achozu V'hamed.
Hamid Mishmaras is a continuation of the instructions.
Einoch Hanami. So in Ksuvim, in Sifrei Ksuvim, the trop, like we said, is a weak Mesora. It's a very, even the way it's spaced. We had a whole discussion about the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex, the way the words are spaced, the way the psuchos, the mistumos, the way it's written is very different than what traditionally Seifim have been writing on Nevi'im. If you go to a shul, they have a Navi for the Haftorah, for Klaf. So the traditional Klafim are very different than what they have discovered in the Aleppo Codex. And the Aleppo Codex, according to some, according to many, is what the Rambam validated, authenticated, this is the real deal. So the big question is, what do we do today? Do we follow the Aleppo Codex, or do we follow what traditionally has been done throughout the last 1,000 years? So it's a very big disagreement. Different Gedolei HaDor and Eretz Yisrael that have different opinions. I think Rav Chaim Knievsky says, follow the Aleppo Codex, because he says that our Mesora, even though you have a Mishul, your Nevi'im, this goes back for hundreds of years, it's a very weak tradition. And the Aleppo Codex, the Chora, is a better tradition than what we have. Other Gedolim say no. new discoveries do not change the Mesorah. Whatever our tradition is, that speaks volumes. That says everything. So this is an ongoing debate. But here you have over here something very interesting. As you mentioned, we have the echos would appear to fit better with the beginning of the past, now with the next expression, now with the past expression. Different perushim, it means to be blocked. What does it mean? That it's an encouragement by Nehemiah to the people, to Hananiah and Hananiah, to make sure that the security of Yerushalayim is done with chokhmah and done well. Pasuk Dal. Now we start a new section. Okay, so basically the first Sukkim we're mentioning, Nehemiah has succeeded. It's a very great accomplishment. The wall is complete. The gates, the doors are up. Now there's security has been put in place. And we know in this generation, security is everything, right? Everything is secure. Now we come to an entirely new section. Wonderful. We have a beautiful city. We have a large city. It's secure. But we have a very small population. No one wants to live in Yerushalayim. Real estate is cheap. It's a very large land, the city Rachavas Yodayim. The city is very large, Ugedola. Relatively speaking, the wall was not that big, but relatively speaking, it was still, the area was still much larger than the number of people that were currently living at that time. For us today, in this generation, they would come and they would see what this looks like, they would think this is bigger than the Beis HaMikdash. The technology and the size, and look how big this is. They didn't have such technology in ancient times to build buildings like this, to have streets, these large streets. They live in very small, confined places like they do today in parts of the world. China, they optimize every little inch. That's the way it was in Eretz Yisrael. So they had a very, relatively speaking, the city was very large, it was secure, and there were only approximately 42,360 people living. Really, there had to be a lot more at this point in time, because that was them that was true 40 years ago. So in 40 years ago, the population certainly must have grown, even though some people may have made Yeridah, they may have emigrated back to Bavel, but at least we have, assume it was at least 42,000 and change that were living in the city. And it appears, well, not necessarily living in the city, living in Eretz Yisrael. Not everyone was living in Yerushalayim. The people that were living on the outskirts, even though they were living in was unwalled cities, they felt secure where they were. But Yerushalayim, which was the epicenter of the Beis HaMikdash, it was secure. And relatively speaking, there were not enough people living in the city. Nehemiah now takes upon himself his next role, his next mission, to increase the population of Yerushalayim. So it's a very big thing. The mayor of a city, that's one of his main things, is how many people, when a mayor in New York City, when he starts out in office, how many people living in the city? When he leaves, how many people living in the city? That really is it's a measure of his success. If he's a successful mayor, the population of the city will grow. It means it's healthy to do business. People are thriving, the economy is doing well, people are happy here, people want to live here, people are successful, the population grows. That is the ultimate sign of success. If when you start out your term, and by the time you finish your term, half the population disappears, or you go down by 2-3 million people, that means you're a failure. Why are so many people running away from the city? Every person that leaves the city is a loss of taxes, is a loss it's a show of revenue. It shows that there's a lack of success. So here, Nehemiah takes upon himself his next mission to increase the population of the city. It's very wide, and there are only a few people inside. There's not enough housing. We need more people to come to build houses and to live and develop and thrive and bring in more revenue for the city. So what does the pasuk say? Pasuk Hey, Vayitain Elokai Elibi, Hashem inspired me. I gathered the free men, the eshasaganim, another expression of the leaders, two different words, I'm not exactly sure the difference, we had this referred to many, many times, the chayrim, lashon of bnei chayrim, saganim are the leaders, v'yesa'am, lehis yaches, to inspect their lineage. Now what he's doing here is he's pulling out the records from 40 years ago. It's now been 20 years It's been approximately 40 years since Koresh issued this famous proclamation, everyone can return back to Yerushalayim. That took place 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon. It was 18 years before they built, before they finished building the Beis HaMikdash. So now it's been approximately another 20 years, so we're dealing with about 40 years. He's now taking out the Shtar Yichus document that recorded the Oilim about 40 years ago in Sefer Ezra, which went through a long list of Yehuda, Binyamin, and the Kohanim and Levim, primarily four groups of people, the Kohanim, Levim, Yehuda, and Binyamin, and then we just rounded off the number, and then there was another about 13,000 people, which made the number from other Shvatim, which brought the number to 42,360. These were people that immigrated to Eretz Yisrael 40 years ago. Nehemiah wants to know what has become of these people. Who are they? Where are they? A lot of them are not living in Yerushalayim. They're living in the Negev. They're living up north. They're living, who knows where, they're living along the Mediterranean. They're living wherever they are, in the West Bank, wherever they are. They're living in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. Ezra now wants to find them, get their cell phone numbers, call them up, and say, get back here. What are you living down south? Come live in Yerushalayim. What are you living in Tzfas? Come to Yerushalayim. This is where you belong. Housing is cheap. So he's now bringing out the old documents to review who has made Aliyah, what has become of these people, where have they gone? Have they gone back to Bavel? Have they gone different parts of Eretz Yisrael? What has become of their families? How many members of their families have they married? Have they increased? And let's speak to them and convince them to return to live within the walls of Yerushalayim. That is what's going on over here. So if he was inspired, Hashem put in my heart to search after their lineage. And also there's another problem that since now it's been already 40 years, if we'll go out to one of these villages out down south or the north or wherever, and we'll find a village, how do I know who's really a Jew? Mi Yehudi. Who are the Jews? Maybe there is intermingling, there is intermarriage, there are slaves. Who do I know is legitimate that I can force or I can convince, I should invest my time and effort to convince him to return to Yerushalayim? So he must have this deed. Vo'emsa, I got lucky. And Mitzia, I found Sefer Hayachas, the Sefer of Lineage. Ha'ilim Barishona, which recorded all the people that ascended Barishona 40 years ago in the time of Koresh, 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, V'emsa, and I found there, Kosovo, the following was written in that document. Let's just read a little few of Psukim. Eila B'nei HaMedina, and what did it say in the document? These are the B'nei HaMedina, Ha'ilim, which have ascended Mishvi HaGoyla, from the captives, from the exile, Asher Heglo Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, who were exiled originally by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, 52 years before. So this document pretty much recording what happened 52 years ago. 52 years, but now it's a lot more. Now it's about 90 years since this event. Vayashuvu li Yerushalayim uYehuda ish liro, and at this point in time they returned to Yerushalayim and to Yehuda, the region of Yehuda, not just to Yerushalayim, but the outskirts of Yerushalayim, each person returned back to a city. Habodim Zerubbabel, who came? Those that came with Zerubbabel, the leader. The one who took the lead to ascend was Zerubbabel. This was he was a descendant of David HaMelech. Had Mashiach come at that point in time, he would have been the new king. He was the acting unofficial king. He wasn't the real king. No one gave him authority as a king. But he was the unofficial king without a crown. Who came with him? Yeshua. Who was Yeshua? Yeshua was Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. He eventually came the Kohen Gadol. Nehemiah seemingly refers to this Nehemiah himself. That's what it would seem. It would seem that we're dealing with Nehemiah right now that's speaking. He also was one of the very great personalities who came. However, even though he came, he went back. because that we know that at this point later on he was the Heter Shasa, he was the butler to Daryavesh. So even though Nechemi may have come up to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Koresh 40 years ago, he must have been a very young man. At some point in time after Koresh issued a stay and told them to stop building the Beis HaMikdash, many people, including himself and Mordechai, returned back to Bavel to lobby on behalf of Klal Yisrael that the king, the government, should allow them to resume building the Beis HaMikdash. For whatever reason, Nehemiah remained there for a very long period of time, and Nehemiah finally came up at a later point in time, as we learn over here in this whole Sefer. So Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramya, Nachamani, Mordechai Bilshan. Mordechai Bilshan, according to most of the Farshim, as we had this for a lot of this repetition, is one person. He had Mordechai from the from Purim. He was called Bilshan, Lashon of Lashon. Lashon, and also Bilshan means to mix. Bol means to mix. He was a Baki in languages. He had multiple doctorates, postdoctorates in languages. He knew multiple languages, and that was his specialty. He was called Mordechai Bilshan. Misperes, that's a name of a person. He had a number. We discussed this last time, that people, some people, you know, their identity is their number. Bigvai is the name of a person. Nechum, Ba'ana. All of these people were Mispar Anshei Am Yisrael. This is not a name person. These were the numbers. We're now about to list the numbers. This is an introduction to the numbers of the people of the nation of Klal Yisrael who returned at the time of Nehemiah. At the time of Zerubbabel, 52 years after the Churban, to return back to their cities. It's now we're going to enumerate the number, the families, with the number of members in each particular family. Okay, let's see some of the Rashis and some of the Mefarshim over here on these series of Psukim. We have here in Pasuk Dalit. Now Nehemiah says, I have a new problem. My new problem is, there are not enough people living in Yerushalayim to sustain the city. We have a beautiful city, we have walls, but the population is too small for the Mokim. Rachavas Mokim Ugedol, it's very large, and we need more people. V'anoshim b'ma'at. Hey, lehisyaches. So what did he do? So he pulled out the records. What happened to all of the people that came here 40 years ago? He pulled out the document, L'hisyaches, L'achkar Yichusan, to inquire after their lineage. Ha'olim Rishayna, Me'oysam Ha'yehudim, Ha'olim Im Ezra, Barishayna, with those Jews that came with Ezra originally, which came with Ezra years ago, came with Ezra many years ago. The Emsa Kosov, though I found in this document, Kol Eile Hadavarim Hayuksum Ba'isi Geres, Eile Bnei Hamadina, Ad Ve'agorilos Hipalnu Al Karbon Ho'etzim, until the end. Now, we're now going through a very long list, which goes all the way until Perek Yud Pasuk Lamed Hey. A long list of people. Not everything they're going to be little bits and pieces, but until later on, we're going to review different individuals who have made aliyah. Uli Yehuda, Lemedidas Yehuda, Ish Liro, Kol Echa Liro, Pasuk Zayin, Habayim Zerubbabel, Ashabo Miyosha Agoyle Im Zerubbabel. We have a list of people which came with Zerubbabel. Yeshua, Hu Yeshua Ben Yehoyitzadik, Hakohen Gadol, Cheshbonos Halos. Rashi here says something very important now. Rashi says we're going to go through the Sefer Yichus. The problem is this Sefer Yichus we already learned in Sefer Ezra. Hope you remember, not so long ago, but we learned Sefer Ezra. There was also a deed, a record that was written to record all of the people that went up to listen to the proclamation of Koresh and came up to Eretz Yisrael. Here, Nehemiah is taking out seemingly that document and reading it. Problem is, there are major discrepancies. We're going to go with the same families, and some families got larger, and some got small. And all of the good Sfarim in the art school and in Rav Schwab, they have a table in the back of the Sefer where they show you the numbers, they show you exactly the discrepancies between between Ezra's account and this account. So what in the world is going on? So that's the question. So seemingly, it's not the same document. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is there were different documents. There were different records. There was an early record and a later record. The early record was a preliminary record when, as they came up, as they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, they recorded what took place. A period of time later, it's not clear how much later. Someone would say it was a short period later. Someone would say the new record was compiled now, or 20 years later, 30 years later, whatever it was, in a much later period of time, it was reviewed, the accuracy of what was in the past, and changes were made to reflect different things that have happened. A more updated version of what really happened, so which basically a more updated, more accurate account of who actually made Aliyah. It's a different document. That appears to be the consensus of all of the Mefarshim. And that's why both of them are recorded. There's truth to both. If there wasn't truth to both, we would not bother to record to present both in the beginning of one Ezra and one Nehemiah. We have to also remember that Mikra Adin, it's one Sefer. Bishlam, if you would tell me that there are two different sons, the Sefer called Ezra and the Sefer called Nehemiah. So Ezra wrote his Sefer and Nehemiah wrote his Sefer. But that's not true. In Chazal, Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah is one book. It's one Sefer. It was authored by one person, by Nehemiah. Nehemiah wrote the entire book. He wrote Sefer Ezra. Everything was written by him. So why then would Nehemiah, in his one single book, would he have two chapters repeating exactly the same thing? That's not logical. If there were two separate authors, each one wrote his book. Okay, so you have the Rambam, he wrote his Sefer, and you have other Rishonim, which wrote their compilation of the Tayag Mitzvos and the Halacha and all of the laws of the Torah. But it's one person. So the answer is there were two different sets of records. Each one has a different focus, and each one is accurate in its own way, and they're both important. It's important to contrast one to the other, and that's what we're doing over here. And Rashi points out, Rashi over here says that that's the point that Rashi makes. Every word of the Rashi has to be studied very carefully, because a lot of them, all of the Mefarshim deal with this issue, and everyone says the answers a little bit differently. And Rashi, his words here are, Cheshbonos halalu, these calculations, pa'amim, sometimes they are exactly the same as the calculation of the previous Sefer Ezra. They're not the same. They're not exactly the same. They change. Rashi makes very light of this. It's very interesting. We're not so medactic. There are, basically, Rashi seems to be saying there are inaccuracies. That's how you want to really, very loosely translate Rashi. Aval haklal shaveh, lekan ulekan. One thing, though, is the same, which makes it even more difficult. The total sum. The total sum in both counts are 42,360. Now, that's difficult because if you want to say that they were written, two accounts were taken 40 years apart, and some families expanded and some shrunk. Some families grew. Some families left. They said, we can't make a living here. We're making Yerida. We're going back to Bava. Okay, then you could account for a discrepancy, why the family. But you can't go tell me that the population stayed exactly the same to the exact number. That's too much of a coincidence. That's just too bizarre. So, some of ours say no. Some of ours say that it was 40 years apart, and I don't know. And
population changes.
But even if you say the population trace stays stable, exactly the same exact number, 42,000, that's a little bit too far fetched. Other farshim want to say no. That it's a mix. The total population we're referring back to who came originally at the time of Ezra, time of Zerubbabel. But the other individual family members that were changing, that reflects a change that took place over 40 years, or over 30 years, 20 years, depending on when it was written. But to give cover to the original Olim, we review it with the Sach HaKol, with the total number 42,360 at the end. Because that's a very difficulty, which Rashi just does point out. Rashi seems to be saying they're exactly the same. They were taken at the same point in time, and we're not medactic. There are discrepancies, but the total sum will remain the same, 42,360. Let me just explain. When you enumerate all of these families, we're 13,000 people short of 42,360, either a little bit more, a little bit less than the two different calculations. Those additional 13,000 people came from other shvatim, which are not being listed and enumerated in this perek. We only enumerate in this perek and Sefer Ezra Kohanim, Levim, Shevet Yehuda, and Shevet Binyamin. Then we just give and we pad it with what's missing to reach the grand total of 42,360. Those extra people that are added to pad to get to the Sach HaKol came from other Shvatim, even though the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled by Sancheiriv a long time ago, but there were definitely other pockets of Jews that did stay around, did remain, and did come up to Eretz Yisrael together with Yehuda Binyamin and Shevet Levi.
It's a forced fit.
What?
It's a forced fit. You want to make it exactly the same, so you take from
it. No, it seems that we're coming, we're giving honor to the original. So even if we're going to make a new calculation 40 years later, and we're going to review the families once again and show how they've grown or they've decreased, because they either population, their families increased, or some of their families left, they went away, or they died. But when we come to give the total sum, we're going back in time 40 years. Those 42,360, they are the Ikar. We only want to give them the great honor, because they took the first step to come back. Go back to a land that was desolate to rebuild Yerushalayim.
Well, the demographics were the same in both calculations. You said you took from Shevi Yehuda, Avim, Kahanim.
Pretty much the same. Well, that's what we're going to see. That's all the various charts. It did change a little bit. It changed slightly, some more and some less. Some are exactly the same, some change a little bit. Okay, one important medrash, which we mentioned when we learned last time. Here we have Mordechai Bilshon. Mordechai Bilshon is mentioned over here, number 6. In Sefer Ezra, he's mentioned number 5. In the order of the order of the list of in the order of the list, Haboimim Zubavli of Yeshua Nechemia Azariah Ramya Nachamani Mordechai Bilshon. So back in Sefer Ezra, Perek Gimel. Let me just go show you how it's listed there. Okay, in Perek Gimel. Not Perek Gimel, sorry, Perek Beis, where we start the list. Asher Boim Zerubbabel, it's Perek Beis, Pasik Beis. Asher Boim Zerubbabel, Yeshua Nechemiah. So here it says, in our Pasik, to compare, here we have Azariah, and there we don't have Azariah. There we have Seroya and Re'elia. Okay, we have a different person. We have there Seroya, who's not mentioned over here. And we have there Re'elia, also a different person. Mordechai Bilshon, we have different people. Okay, at least in the beginning. It could be they're the same people. That's one approach. These are the same people. It's just they were known by different names. Just like today we know there are people that are known by different names. Not everyone has a different name. You have a business name, you have a Jewish name, you have a nickname. So that's why we have different accounts. One account records the way they were known by some people, and the other account records the way they were known by other people. Different names. But the order is also important. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, we have Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nechemiah, Seroya, Re'elia, Mordechai Bilshon. So take out Im Zerubbabel. Yeshua is 1, Nechemiah is 2, Seroya is 3, Re'elia is 4, Mordechai Bilshon is 5. Here it says, Im Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nechemiah, Azariah, Ramya, Nachamani, Mordechai Bilshon is 6. Mordechai Bilshon was pushed down 1. Ezra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, he's number 5 on the list. Here he's number 6 on the list. What happened to him? So the Gemara says because this was after the poor miracle. After the poor miracle, no longer V'ratzui L'roiv Echav. He was no longer, the last words of the Megillah, L'roiv most. he took a position in government, he was no longer oisik the entire day in learning Torah. And even though it's a great thing to be oisik in politics and to be oisik in tzarchei tzibur, in mais and toivim, that's what you wish, k'shem, shnichnas lebriskin yikonis l'toyro l'chub l'mais and toivim. Everyone has to come to a point in their life where they're not oisik the whole day in learning, they have to be oisik in mais and toivim, making parnasa and doing things for someone else. Yet, it's not the same chashivos as learning the Torah. It's a necessary evil. And that evil has an effect that Mordechai has now been demoted to number 6, whereas before he was number 5, because before he was 100% oisik in Torah, now he was oisik in Torah together with Maisim Tovim. Ezra, we're going to have soon. That's going to be the end of this parak. End of this parak, we're going to have you're going to have a dedication ceremony. And dedication ceremony, they're going to bring out Ezra. And most of the explain that Ezra at this time was very old. He was almost 120 years old. He retired. He became 100% spiritual. He was not involved in government and leadership ideas. He was in isolation because he just wasn't physically, he was able to deal with the tzibor, but he was still alive at this point in time. And in fact, when Nehemiah wants to dedicate the wall and wants to dedicate all of the new oilim, he's going to invite Ezra, and Ezra is going to read from the Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Azar. Yes, this is an important point to mention about Mordechai, that he was demoted because he was not Isaac in Torah, and now what's going to happen is going to go through all of the people, starting with Pasuk Ches, all the names of the family. So we'll pick up tomorrow with this. Maybe we'll try to contrast some of the details that I mentioned here with what it says in Ezra and Perek, basically. So we'll stop.